Blog Talk Radio.
I'll say this for him, he's consistent.
Well, he's been so consistent all year.
Not the taste, the consistency.
Consistency, yes.
Consistency!
Thanks, losers.
You're listening to the BGFF Network, where we keep fantasy real. Now here's Nate Miller.
And here we are for basically our first episode of the year. I want to welcome in Ron Rigney from Big Guy Fantasy Sports. Ron, how is it going out there, big guy?
What's up, Bob? I just had a giant burrito about a half an hour ago, and I'm fueled up. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Fueled up, yeah. Just hopefully none of the fuel escapes and we don't catch any live online flatulence.
No guarantees.
Speaking of flatulence, how about Blake Bortles today? He basically, as we expected, kind of fell apart. And, I mean, I've already seen Twitter, and they're blaming the referees for only one penalty on the Patriots and, you know, 100-yard penalties on Jacksonville. But, you know, it's the way the game goes. And when you're in New England, stuff's going to happen. But, you know, you got to be smart. And earlier in that game, you know, there was just pass interferences and some things you just can't do. I mean, you can be aggressive, but you can't be over-aggressive, and sometimes they get you in trouble, and they got them in trouble today. They gave up some big pass interferences and big plays of penalties that kept some of the drives alive for New England, and that's the way it goes. But, you know, that's now, and we're going to talk about the past now. We're going to talk about 2017. As everybody who's ever listened to the show or been a part of the Big Guy Fantasy Sports, you know, we talk about consistency in fantasy football, and that's what we're all about. And the title thereof of the show, Fantasy Football Consistency, is why we're here. And that's what we're going to talk about all through this offseason. Some of the most consistent players from last year, and some that we think will come back and either be consistent again this year, maybe have a good comeback, or may just come out of nowhere to be consistent. We can talk about those as well. But, we got a special night tonight. I wish I had all kinds of fanfare and applause, and maybe someday I'll get that added for my audio clips. But we're going to give away some awards tonight, Ron, and this is the 2017 Fantasy Football Consistency Awards. It's right up there with the Grammys, Emmys, and Oscars. So, Ron, this is your first year as a part of this, and I appreciate you being here. So, we're going to kick it off with the quarterbacks, and we've got different categories, as we would in most award shows, not just MVP or most consistent. We want to break down some other scenarios that some guys won some awards with. We're going to start it off with probably not a good award. Now, some of the one things we're going to do a little differently here is, you know, for the Emmys, the Oscars, it's all about winners. It's all about the best. And we're going to award some people for not being the best, because it's a frustrating sport, fantasy football. And there's times when we have some players we draft or we take maybe not take a chance on, but we rely on, and they let us down. And we're going to award, quote, these people. And we're going to start it off with the worst value of the year. And the description on this is the award goes to that quarterback who started the year with one of the higher ADPs and ended the season with the worst combination of total fantasy points and consistency, thus making him the worst value at quarterback in 2017. So, Ron, give me maybe one or two of your nominations for this award, maybe a little description of why you feel this quarterback was a bad value based on his preseason ADP and where he ended up at the end of the year.
Yeah, so the first guy I'm going to go with, and when you look at his overall body of work, it looks pretty solid, but he's, and I don't want to preface this by saying, too, this is probably one of the worst years I've had as far as from a fantasy football standpoint. I'm so ready for baseball. I've been ready for baseball for about 2 months now. And this guy in my biggest league was a guy that I was kind of hanging my hat on, and that's Kirk Cousins. And the reason I put Kirk Cousins out there is it just seems that a lot of times, because that league that I had him in that I was mainly looking for his production, it's a standard scoring league. And so that's one thing we have. So don't have the PPR, and plus you need those touchdowns from every position to kind of make up for those points you're not getting for those catches from your running backs and your tight ends and your wide receivers. And so I was kind of looking for that production from Cousins. And you know, when you look at the overall body of work, 27 touchdowns, not too bad. That's second most he's had. 2015, he had a couple more. 4,000 yards is not bad, but it just seems like those touchdowns didn't come consistently from week to week. It seems like, you know, in that league, when you're scoring the way the settings are, you want to get about 100, 120, and I'm getting like 80s, 90s, and that's because I'm only getting about 10 to 12, 15 points from Kirk Cousins. You know, there was a couple weeks there towards the end of the season where I was just kind of hanging on to get in the playoffs, and I'm getting, you know, like 178 yards or 220 yards and no touchdowns, and that's not going to help me in that format of a league. So that's my main target, number one, and maybe that's a little bit of me just being butthurt about my season. But nonetheless, I'm gonna throw him out there. The other guy, too, that I'm going to throw out there as well is Derek Carr. Derek Carr is another guy in a couple of leagues that I had, you know, had some high hopes for, and it wasn't as big of a deal as that league. The league that I had Cousins in is kind of my one, you know, one that I focus on the most. But, you know, with an ADP, you know, these guys are right here at 6 and 7, too. You know, Derek Carr is just very inconsistent. And I hate to blame it all on him because of the injuries that he had throughout the season to Crabtree and Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper has, it seems like, a kind of a chronic case of the dropsies that he can't get rid of. And so it may not be all pinned up on him. But if I had to throw out my two names, it would definitely be right there with the ADPs of usually 6, 7 with Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr.
Right, and just to support your Kirk Cousins, fifth in total points, but only 56% consistency, ranking 11th. So certainly wasn't very consistent. Carr, 20th in total points, 33% consistency, ranking 31st. So my two nominations are number one, and I wish Colby was here because this is his favorite player, we all know, and that is one Cam Newton. Man, you want to talk about a guy that you look on one side of the page, you go, man, what a year. Cam Newton, third in total fantasy points at almost 350. What a great year for Cam Newton. And then you come to our website and you see his consistency numbers, or you had Cam Newton and you go, man, why didn't I do very well in my league? Why didn't I make the playoffs? I had Cam Newton. He was third in total fantasy points. Oh, wait a minute. Bob Lung's Big Guy Fantasy Sports and Consistency site shows that his consistency was less than 50%, 44% actually, ranking him 25th overall. He tied Andy Dalton for 26th place in consistency. But yet was third.
Which is definitely you want either. You definitely don't want to tie Andy Dalton in anything.
Yeah, you know what? No, even for just, you know, ugliest redhead award, that's terrible too. But Cam Newton, 44%. It's just unbelievable. So he's one of my nominations. And another guy that I'm going to nominate for this because, you know, his ADP has to be top five. He might have been quarterback 4 overall, I'm assuming. And that was Drew Brees. And Drew Brees has kind of always been one of my poster childs for consistency, unlike Cam Newton, who's the poster child for inconsistency. But Drew Brees, the 10th in total points, which, okay, Brees has always been solid, but he's always been consistent. You know, even last couple of years, you know, he might have been 7th, 8th, 9th maybe in total points. But man, he was always up there in that 70% plus consistency. This year, by far, Drew Brees' worst consistency season that I can remember, at only 50%. He was tied for 18th with Matt Ryan, just to show you how bad Matt Ryan would probably be another nomination if he was 14, but he was 14 in total, not his ADP wise. But so Drew Brees is another nomination that I'm putting out there for worst value of the year, but. The winner is, drum roll please, is Derek Carr. And a good nomination there by Ron. So Derek Carr, as we all know, ended 2016 with an injury, but he was on pace for what most people classified as an MVP season. And I don't know if he would have been, because his consistency wasn't that great, honestly, in 2016. It was about, I think it was around 70%, which is fine, but I don't know if that's MVP season. But, you know, his ADP was around the QB 8 mark, which seemed reasonable, but Carr never even came close. Like you said before, ranked 20th in total points, 33% consistency rating in his 15 games. You know, he was hampered by that back injury, but regardless, certainly returned the worst value, even though Cam Newton was damn close. So Derek Carr wins our worst value of the year for that. And I assume, based on your, since you nominated him, I assume no argument from you on that.
No, but just real quick, too, the two guys that you threw out, Bob, one of the things about Cam Newton that frustrates the living hell out of me is when you watch him and when he actually steps back mechanically, and I know this is a whole other can of worms, but when he has his mechanics right and is stepping off his front foot and actually trying to be a passer, he can make you look, make it look like he's going to be he's going to take that next step, and you're waiting for it, and we've been waiting for it forever, and you just wonder how, if it's ever going to come. And then he'll throw like 4 or 5 passes, just darts this way and that way and all over the field, and then all of a sudden he's throwing something off his back foot and it's getting picked, and that's you know, I think the most frustrating part about him. And the thing I wanted would be interesting to see, and I don't know if you've broken this down at all, Bob, this is something I'd be interested to look at later on, is of Breeze's 50% clutch rating, I'd like to see how many of those came at home as opposed to on the road. I think we kind of already know what the answer to that is, you know, based upon his profile, but I'd be interested in breaking that down later just to see, you know, how consistent he was on the road, because he's always known as being a home quarterback.
Yeah, and I think I know that he's always been a better player at home. I don't think he's got the home away splits like a Ben Roethlisberger at like 85% versus 33%. But I know it's probably at least, you know, 60-40 from that standpoint or somewhere in that range. There's no question he's definitely better at home. But going back to Cam Newton, in Cam Newton's MVP season, his consistency was 69%. That's his best. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, this will be in the book, pounded throughout this summer to people who are looking at Cam Newton as a top fantasy quarterback again this year. And you know as well as I do that we are going to beat these people in the heads with a ball bat to remind them that Cam Newton should not be on your fantasy team. Do not rely on that lack of consistency. It is going to kill you. You know, this past year has been, in my opinion, again, I've been doing this since 2002, I've never seen the quarterbacks as a whole be this inconsistent overall. I mean, we're talking about only 3 quarterbacks made it over 70% consistent, and only one of them played more than 7 games, and that was Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't tell you what kind of consistency or inconsistent season it was for quarterbacks, I don't know what does. And, you know, Rodgers and Watson were the other two, but only played in 7 games. They were both 6 or 7 at the time. But everybody else was 69% or lower, other than Stafford, who was 75%. But that's only one game away from being at 69%. So it wasn't like he blew it away. But, I mean, when Matt Stafford is the most consistent quarterback of the year who's played more than, you know, 12 games, that's not a good sign. Not at all.
And I think that contributes to, you know, my frustration and a lot of people's frustration too, is I don't know that I've ever had a year where I've had so many things that look so right on paper go so wrong. And I know you can say that, you know, every year that, and the thing about this thing is too, we can do all the research we want and we can, you know, look at our site and look at our consistency rankings. But at the end of the day, actual human beings have to go out and play football and they have to play it well. And so I think the thing that, you know, that is frustrating is just that, you know, you look at all these things on paper and you look at these guys that should be consistent. Like you said, when Matt Stafford is that top guy, you can kind of tell right there without even, you know, even if you didn't play a season of fantasy football and even if you did not put a team out there, if you looked at those rankings at the end of the year and you know anything about quarterbacks and Matt Stafford's your number one guy that has started that many games, you know something went wrong and you know it was a weird season.
Well, and just to compound on that, the number 2 overall fantasy quarterback, the number 3, which we met, was Newton. Number 2 was Brady. Number 3 was Cam Newton. Number four was Alex Smith. Number five was Kirk Cousins. Number seven was Philip Rivers. Okay, so there's five of your top 10. Five of your top seven, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were 63% or lower in consistency. Brady was the only one over 60%. He was 63. Number five, number seven, number four, number three were 56% or lower. That, folks, says we got to be more careful looking into 2018 quarterback-wise than we ever have before. Because if you don't get a consistent quarterback, and depending, and I don't know where the ADPs are going to fall out yet. You know, we haven't really gotten into any kind of significant drafting. That'll usually start May-ish, June. You know, where I'll start seeing some expert league drafts and some mock drafts and that. Now, they did one on Sirius Radio, but, you know, it was January 2nd or something like that. So it's kind of hard to put any value on it, and they were drafting rookies and all that kind of stuff too. But needless to say, you know, there's only a few, maybe five, that we can really trust. And one of them is Tom Brady, because he was 63%. You know, he'll still get drafted high. We can trust Aaron Rodgers. I think we can trust Carson Wentz if he stays healthy, and he's healthy to come back. Russell Wilson, to a point. Maybe Stafford, but, you know, this is the first time Stafford's been over 70% in years, if ever. And we got Deshaun Watson, and we have, you know, Jameis Winston and Garoppolo, and some. But are we going to trust them? You know, Kirk Cousins was a consistent quarterback the year before. We don't know where he's going to end up. If he stays in Washington, maybe he gets some consistency back. I think, obviously, they need some better receivers. I mean, between, you know, Crowder being hurt, Pryor being a bust, you know, Jordan Reed never being on the field, Doxson being iffy. Honestly, 56% probably isn't bad, and fifth in total points definitely is good. But there's just so much iffiness. You know, Prescott had a down year. Can he come back? You know, there's a lot of question marks in quarterbacks. The key is where are they going to fall out ADP? Is everybody going to be scared and not want to take that risk early? And if they are, that's maybe where you jump on an Aaron Rodgers in the fifth round. You know, you assume he'll be healthy again for the whole year. You can't count on anybody, but I can see me drafting Rodgers a lot because I'm going to have a lot more space in that consistency than I am just about anybody else out there.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, one of the things too, you know, because the league that I'm referring to that Cousins in, it's a unique one, but essentially you play most, it's an eight-teamer basically. And to me, I don't have a lot of experience with eight-teamers until I started this one 3 years ago. And to me, those are harder to draft than a 12 or 15 team for me, just because that's what I'm used to. And so I think that's one of those things that it's definitely going to be something I'm going to look at early next year so I don't have to worry about it. Because the thing about it is, I think if I go with that earlier on, you know, I'm going to find running backs and receivers a little bit later. And then another little caveat, too, to Kirk Cousins as well. I think another reason that I had the bad year that I had, because I think I actually got cringed a little bit when you said Terrell Pryor's name. When you're talking about Kirk Cousins, I got a little gun shy there. That was a guy that I had such high hopes for. You know, he has a quarterback, throw him the deep ball, and he's a great athlete, and he just disappeared and did nothing. So I agree with that. If you get Cousins some receivers, man, I think that's going to be all the difference in the world. But, you know, he's also saying, too, that he's going to look at places like Cleveland to potentially go to. So, you know, if you can keep Josh Gordon's nose clean, that could be something decent.
Yeah,
to work if that
Coleman
ends up happening.
And Gordon and, you know, Joku and Duke Johnson, that may be not a bad scenario for Cousins, let's be honest.
Yeah, you know, obviously, because when you say anybody, I know you're a Browns fan, Bob, but you know this just as well as anybody. When you hear somebody saying that they willingly want to go there, your ears kind of perk up. You get a little excited, you know. And so, not necessarily a bad thing, though. I'm one of the people, and you can probably attest to this, too. I kind of like what they're building there in Cleveland as far as on the defensive side. And they got it, like you just said, some of the nice pieces they got on offense. Might not be a bad deal.
I don't think they're as far away as the No. 16 could be.
I'm
not holding my breath, and I'm not going to tell you that they're going to win the division either. They're not going to go from worst to first, but – if, let's say, Cousins comes there and they get a you know, running back. I don't know if Barkley is the answer, but let's say they get Barkley from Penn State. You know, maybe a top offensive lineman to help if Joe Thomas goes away. Maybe a top wide receiver, just in case Corey Coleman, he certainly had his dropsy moments too. You know, that team could easily be at least competitive. I mean, there was a lot of games they were in this year, and then, you know, it just fell apart at the end when Kizer couldn't get it done. And if they can get a guy that can be a little more confident back there and a little, you know, a little more talented, like a Cousins, yeah, this team could like I said, at least be a lot more competitive. I mean, I'm never going to be too optimistic with this team, but at least if they can be a little more competitive, win six games, four games, you know, that's a start, and then they build on that. So, but yeah. All right, let's move on to our next category. This is kind of the opposite of worst value; it's best value, and so this is a quarterback that kind of was on the opposite side. So they had a low ADP, not a lot of love for this quarterback. And yet by the end of the year, they had one of the best combinations of total fantasy points and consistency. And so, Ron, I'm going to go back to you to start it off with your nominations for what you feel is one of some of the best values that were out there this year at quarterback.
Well, one of the guys, and I tried to kind of have him be a stopgap for me some weeks, you know, with the Cousins experiment kind of going awry on me. And it worked out a little bit, but it ended up one of those things that I ended up having to drop him at some point was Philip Rivers is a guy that was okay for me some weeks. And, you know, he has ended the year with 4,500 yards. I'll kind of let you speak to his consistency here in a minute. But, you know, 28 touchdowns, only 10 picks. And you know, the thing about Philip Rivers is, you know, he's going to be in the lineup. He hasn't missed a game in I don't know how long. He's started 16 games almost just about every year that he's been in there. So you know you're going to get a guy that's going to be able to start. You know you're going to get a guy that's going to – he's got a decent core of receivers, you know, especially I think obviously Keenan Allen stayed healthy, so that was a big plus for him as far as having his go-to guy there. You know, when you have a guy that has that many targets, you know, he's going to be off the charts. And then I'm going to lump these two guys kind of in too. I'll let you talk about them as well. I think you got to talk a little bit about when you're talking about values. You got to mention Alex Smith. I know you and I shared the CBS team that we had Alex Smith in, and I kind of drafted him as an accident later on in the draft, and it actually ended up working fairly well for us most weeks
that we
needed a guy. And then right after him, you know, these guys were ADP wise, you know, down around the 20 and 21 marks. And of course, too, I don't think that anybody thought you were going to get what you got out of either one. But Jared Goff as well is another guy. I'm looking at Fantasy Pros ADPs, you know, for going into the season, and he was a 22nd quarterback off the board, Jared Goff was, and he ended up kind of having a little bit of a coming out party, you know, and that whole offense, too. I'm sure we'll mention a guy by the name of Todd Gurley a little bit later on when we talk about the running backs, but just when you look at the 100 quarterback rating, 28 scores, 7 picks, 3,800 yards, getting that out of the 22nd guy off the board is huge. So that would have to be my three right there.
No, it's some good ones. So I got a couple. So one I'm going to bring up, and I did a little bit earlier, is Matthew Stafford. As I mentioned before, you know, Stafford's ADP was around quarterback 16. You know, he's always kind of been the – I usually drafted him as a backup in most leagues, because you're not going to rely on him. You know, his consistency has always been below 60 to 50%. You know, he'd be close to the top 15 in total points. He was a good backup. I mean, like you said, kind of like Philip Rivers, you knew he's going to play. You knew he's going to put up some decent numbers. Hopefully the week you needed him for a bye week or an injury replacement would be his really good, best week of the year. But, you know, you could count on him to be decent. Maybe not great. You'd hope that he'd earn one of his clutch games that week. You know, by the end of the year, though, Matthew Stafford, as I mentioned before, was 75% consistent, and it's hard to beat that. Then my other one is Carson Wentz. Wentz actually was around ADP 18. You know, some leagues he didn't even get drafted because he was Carson Wentz, and he was, you know, 50% consistent the year before. You know, but he ended the year ranked 8th in total points, 69% clutch games, but he missed the last three games of the year. He was on pace. He probably would have been top 3 maybe. I mean, he was only, let's see, who is number two? 351 points was Brady. Russell Wilson was 400. Wentz was 319 and missed three games. So, you know, if he, like I said, if he puts up another 25 a pop, that's 75 points. He passes Russell Wilson. So, needless to say, he is our winner for best value. Just because his ADP was a little bit less than Stafford, even though Stafford had a better year because he played 16 games, I felt like Wentz was the best value of all of them. And so he was our winner for best value. Any comments, any thoughts on that?
I think it's pretty telling. I mean, when you go through, you know, consistency-wise, and you look at where these guys ended up, and you alluded to the total points there, I mean, you know, you got Carson Wentz outscoring guys, you know, points-wise. Like, you know, we mentioned Dak Prescott, who was kind of up and down. He outscored him. I mentioned Goff a minute ago at 306. But I think probably the most telling one for me on the list here is he outscored the aforementioned Drew Brees by a handful of points as well. And I think that's pretty interesting to kind of look at that. And the other thing is, too, when, you know, we mentioned Goff, we mentioned Wentz, and it just kind of goes to show you how, you know, the people that you listen to, and whether it's fantasy or whether it's people that evaluate talent, they, you know, these guys were going to be well on their way to being busts for both in both places. And all of a sudden they kind of came out a little bit this year and kind of showed you what they could do. So needless to say, that breakout can always still come, you know, and I think that's what we saw this year. But yeah, I agree 100%. And the thing is, too, if he's healthy all year, he's got to be, even with getting hurt, he's got to be strongly considered for NFL MVP, you know, well. But three games will definitely solidify that. But I think he's still got to be a consideration.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't know if he'll get it because he missed the three games, but he certainly was on pace. My thought is probably Brady will get it again because it's Tom Brady and they made it to the Super Bowl again. We'll see. Going back to Wentz, you know, the other thing that was important for them and Goff as well was both of those teams went out and got both of them more talent to throw to. I'm still in shock how somebody evaluated Robert Woods of being good and was right, because he did nothing in Buffalo. And I realize Buffalo certainly didn't have the best quarterbacks in the world to throw to him. But I just felt like when they got Robert Woods and gave him that money, I'm like, what? But that's why those guys are professionals and we're doing fantasy stuff on the podcast again. But, you know, because everybody thought Sammy Watkins was the best pickup. And even I don't like Watkins at all. I never have. I always feel like he's a bust and has been just kind of an injury accident, way it happened. But, you know, I thought, oh, Watkins is just going to be huge there. Well, I think we all can pretty much guarantee that Sammy Watkins is not a star and never will be a star. But the fact that Robert Woods became a pretty decent wide receiver there really says a lot about that, but also just allowed Goff to do more, which allowed Gurley to do more. And when you've got all of those weapons clicking like that, you can't focus on just one. That's obviously why Gurley had such a great year, and, you know, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then with Wentz, even now got out.
And I like the way he built for wide receiver core too as well. I like when teams build, you know, and you mentioned Sammy Watkins. He does one thing pretty well. That's run straight down the field and catch, you know, make a big play. So you're probably not going to see him pop up too high in our consistency rankings for the simple fact that his stats is usually about two for 65 and maybe a touchdown, something like that. But he does get the touchdown added on there. But I love when teams build it that way, when they have the deep threat guy, they have the solid guy on the other side that's kind of possession, but he can also stretch it a little bit. And don't forget Cooper Kupp as well in the slot there, you know, kind of your shifty possession guy also that can do a lot of things. And I love when teams build it that way. And so I think that absolutely 100% is one of the reasons for him taking the step that he did.
Right. You know, and even Nelson Aguilar turned it around quite a bit with Wentz. And then also having better players around him. So he didn't have to be the star. He could be a good role player, and he's done a good job of that as well. So, all right, well, let's move on to Rookie of the Year. Not a ton of quarterbacks that really got a chance to play much at rookie, but there's a couple. But I think pretty much everybody knows who was going to win this, but let's throw out some nominations anyway. Ron, what do you got?
So you mean to tell me that everybody knows that we're going to give this to C.J. Beathard then?
I guess. I didn't want to give it away right away. Deshaun
Kaiser. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
I hope Kobe's not listening, or he'll be calling in immediately.
Deshaun Watson is, he's our number one clutch, ranking. I mean, at 86%. Now, granted, he did miss a lot of the season. I'll kind of leave him for a little bit later on, though. But one of the guys that was a pleasant surprise to me, and he wasn't stellar, he wasn't spectacular, but I think he kind of showed the makings of being a solid NFL quarterback, and it's a guy that we kind of joked about in the offseason that might go to your hometown Browns there, and that's Mitch Trubisky. I don't think that he's a guy that I'm going to, hang my hat on as far as my starter next year, but I think he showed enough that he was able to put together a decent season. I mean, it wasn't spectacular, but there towards the end, he had a couple of nice games in there. He did get sacked 31 times, so that's not really too solid of a number. But I think when you're looking at just, in the microscope of looking at rookies, I think he's a guy that you have to talk about a little bit. And then, you mentioned Deshaun Kaiser once again. Not spectacular when it looks, 40% clutch. Obviously that's not something that's consistent. With the team that he has around him, though, once again, we said that he had some nice pieces, and I think that kind of propped him up a little bit. I would have hated to see him on a team where he had even less to throw to and kind of give him that little bit of a boost. So, I think you got to mention those guys a little bit. But overall, like I said, it's hands down, who this is going to go to. But there's a couple of guys that showed a little bit of promise. But, it's hard for me to believe that Deshaun Kaiser is going to be the starter going into next year, especially when there's two solid quarterbacks sitting there expected to go at the top there. Now, I will say, though, when you're looking at Mitch Trubisky from a clutch standpoint, you got to scroll down pretty far to see him. He's only got a 23% rating, so not too solid when you're looking at him from a consistency standpoint. But I think he did show a few flashes here and there. I didn't get to watch him a whole lot, but what I did see of him, I think it's enough there that he could be a decent guy moving forward for the Bears.
Yeah, of his three clutch games that he earned, he earned two of them out of his last four games. So yeah, I think he was coming around. I don't know if he'll ever get above 50%. He might, but I think the Bears, as long as Jordan Howard's there, that team's going to revolve around him, and Trubisky will be like a Blake Bortles. He'll have to basically not lose games for the team, just try to keep drives alive and keep Howard, thoroughly fed with the ball, and I think that'll be a good role for him. But like you said, I'm not a big fan. I don't know if he'll ever get above 50%, but Kaiser, as you said, had his moments. I watched some of the games and I'd be like, oh, wow, that was awesome. Great job. And then the next time he throws it, wide open to cornerback. Okay. So, but as you said, this is a no-brainer. If he doesn't have the injury in week 7 or 8, he may have won not only Rookie of the Year, he may have been MVP. He was on an incredible, incredible pace. Just to show you, in 7 games, Aaron Rodgers had 154 fantasy points. Now, if you doubled that, that would have been about 308, 310, which would have put him about 10th. Deshaun Watson in 7 games, and really 6.5 games, had 191 points. That would have been right around where Russell Wilson is, which was number one in total fantasy points. So that just shows you what kind of season Watson was having, the first half of the year. The big question is, are we going to trust that he can continue to do that? I know Colby will, sell his soul to tell you that he will repeat and he'll be that amazing and that awesome. And maybe he will be. Yeah. But, it's going to come to where is he going to get drafted? Because if he's going the same round as Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, I don't know if I can do that, man. I don't know about you, but Colby will. I don't know if I can. Because if I got, well, you
Colby,
know, if I can go with
Colby's taking him first. in every draft he's in, no matter what. We know that. So
now,
don't even have to ask
him
that.
DeAndre Hopkins first overall, and then take Deshaun Watson in the second round. you know, at the turn. But I just don't know if I can trust him. Now, if Deshaun Watson's going eighth round, okay, now maybe I take that chance. But we'll see. I don't know where the ADPs are going to fall out. I don't know how much trust people are going to put in him. But like I said, he certainly showed some incredible games in those 670 plays. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, he obviously by far ran away with Rookie of the Year honors for the Consistency Award. So, all right, we're going to move on a couple of kind of, again, unique categories for our Consistency Awards. I call this the clutch-less player of the year, and this basically is going to the quarterback who ended the season with a very high ranking in total fantasy points, but his consistency was much lower than you would expect, making him look more valuable due to the high points rank, but really was clutch-less or worthless to his fantasy teams. And Ron, I'm going to let you throw out the first nominations.
I think it's a runaway with Cam Newton, you know, and like you alluded to before, I won't make this argument again because, you know, you pretty much made a case for Cam Newton getting this award. But, you know, 348.5 points overall for the season. I mean, that looks, you know, looks solid. It really does. But it just speaks to what clutch games and what the consistency report shows you. That you may look at the overall body of work, but then if you're not getting that overall consistency every week, what does it matter? So, you know, when we look at Cam Newton, you know, getting ranked down towards he's at number 27 with that 44%. To me, he's got to be the guy that runs away with this one. I think honorable mention, you know, you got Derek Carr, and I'm throwing Derek Carr out there. You know, like I said, he had a lot of things working against him, but he's, you know, our 32nd ranked guy, and he had that higher ADP. Up around number 5-6 range there. So I think it's worth mentioning him with that 33% clutch rating with the 256 points. But to me, it's Cam Newton all the way.
And I'm going to throw out a nomination in Alex Smith. Again, I had mentioned earlier with Alex, you know, fourth in total points, only 6 points behind Cam Newton total points, a little bit better consistency in 53%. He was 8 out of 15. So he certainly gets some looks at, you know, he might get a few second place votes in this, but you are correct. The overall winner by far is Cam Newton. Like I said, Alex Smith was certainly, you know, and probably if there was some voting, he would get some second place votes for this. And Derek Carr probably would have been in there as well. But like you said, and we mentioned this earlier, I mean, I don't know if I certainly have seen some very high players in total points. I think last year Mike Evans was third at wide receiver in total points, but only had like a 65% consistency. Now, the third in total points and the fact that he was going like in the first round and, you know, maybe 8 or 9 overall, you know, my comment was in the book and all through preseason was, this guy's not worth being a first-round draft choice. That was all my gift just was. I mean, if you want to draft him as your RB or wide receiver too, that's fine. But he was not a first-round draft pick, but at least he was 65%. To be third in total points and yet have a 44% means it's less than half the games in consistency. That's just absurd. I might have to do some research and look at my historical information on the website on the Consistency Report Online to see if I can find anybody that is worse than that, but I would find that hard to believe that you can be third in total points and be under 50% at 44%. So, yes, he was definitely clutchless and worthless for the year. So Cam Newton gets that lovely award, and he'll be getting a cute little hat that he can wear during his press conferences. Going to the clutch more, which is kind of the opposite of clutchless, obviously. This is the person who, during the year, had a low ranking in total fantasy points, maybe because he missed a couple games, injuries, that kind of stuff. But his consistency was higher than expected, making him looking a little less valued of fantasy teams going into next year, but actually might be worth a little bit more. So, Ron, give me a nomination or two for guys who are consistently not, you know, pretty high, but their total points really weren't there due to games played, injuries, whatever the case might be.
First guy I'm going to throw out here is our boy here. And now, granted, he's not going to be too high in total points just for the simple fact that he didn't get the opportunity until he was sent west by New England, and that's our boy Jimmy Grapes, Jimmy Garoppolo here. And so when you look at his total points, he's only ended with 108 total fantasy points, but he is also our number nine clutch guy with a 67% rating. So he's a guy that I think you kind of have to watch out for going into next season. I would love to see them add some weapons to his arsenal, because when you look at what he did when he went to San Francisco, he did it essentially with nothing around him. I mean, he made, I think it's Marquise Coleman look like, he made him into a household name the last few weeks of the season. So he's a guy that I'd look at there. Once again, though, you got to look at Carson Wentz here a little bit. You know, he missed some games. But you also got to look at Deshaun Watson just because of the injury. I mean, he topped the list, and he's at 191. And you know, once again, we kind of made the argument for him, so I won't rehash that a whole lot. But just with what he was able to do when he was in there and just putting up some pretty close to video game type numbers, I think he's a guy that definitely deserves some consideration for this award.
Gotcha. All right, well, my nominations are going to be, I'm going to go with Jameis Winston. Total points, I mean, playing 13 games, so again, missed a few games, but only end of the year 18th in total points. But, and again, Winston was, just like Mike Evans, was not consistent in the previous past, you know, kind of been all over the place. But so I was, and these numbers even surprised me. I had to double look, you know, kind of got double check the numbers, like, is this right? But he ended the year 9 for 13, 69% consistency. That tied him with Carson Wentz in consistency numbers, which, and Russell Wilson, who was also at 69%. Now, again, he was 60 points behind Wentz in the same 13 games. You know, he did, again, miss some games because of injury. I think he was knocked out of a couple mm-hmm. games due to injuries halfway through. So that doesn't hurt. But the fact that in the 13 games he played, he showed 69% consistency, says maybe he's taking a little steps to be a little bit more consistent quarterback. Could be a good value, I would say, as a backup. I mean, I'm certainly not going to draft him as my starter, but maybe I add him as a backup just to see what happens. Because, you know, if he starts clicking and getting that 70, 75% consistency like Stafford did this past year, he may be either a good trade bait or you trade your starter. Maybe you have a Breeze or a Breeze or Russell Wilson or somebody like that that might be able to get you some value somewhere else. And maybe you ride Winston, you know, through the year. You know, even more importantly, Winston earned five straight clutch games out of those nine over his last 5 weeks. So mm-hmm. he was certainly on a roll at the end of the year. You know, so I think that just kind of puts that in the back of my mind, like, Maybe Winston's changed. Maybe Evans could be a pick. I mean, I don't know if I could even live with myself if I draft Winston and Evans on the same team after I pretty much dissed them for the past 2 years. But, you know, sometimes players change and things happen. So he certainly could be that guy. And believe it or not, Jameis Winston is the winner of this category. Again, five clutch games, end of the year, tied for fourth. In consistency, 69% with Wentz and Wilson. And he could be, like I said, could add some value in 2018 since his ADP should probably put him down in the 15 to 18 range. So could be some value there coming into the year. So, all right, so let's move on to our clutch comeback player of the year. This is obviously for a player that may have not had a great 2016 season in total points and consistency, but this guy would have made the best improvement from last year to this year to make him very valuable for his fantasy teams. And Ron, I'm going to let you throw it once again, the first recommendation.
I think my guy is going to be, you know, one, and I hate to keep bringing up the same names here, but my guy is going to be Jared Goff. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, the 53% obviously is not ideal. It only ranked him 17th as far as consistency, but he's a guy that, you know, coming from the 2016 that he had, and like I said, you know, him and Wentz were kind of lumped in the same category. Now, granted, it's only their rookie season, and I don't think that you can take a whole lot of stock in that. I think we kind of got spoiled when Andrew Luck had the rookie season that he had. You know, more recently, I think a lot of people, when they're drafted high and they're immediately dubbed the starter, they get thrown in there, you know, at no matter what point it is in year one, they kind of have that unfair expectation to live up to, and I think that's kind of part of it. But, you know, they improved the supporting cast like we talked about, and I think he's got to be the guy, you know, just because he was so far down last year, and even, like I said, even at 17th, it's still worlds away from where he was ranked last year. So he's probably my main guy that I would nominate for this.
Okay. All right. I got a couple of nominations. My first one's going to be Carson Wentz. Kind of like Jared Goff, you know, rookie year, not bad, not great, but certainly made a decent comeback, you know, in this year. Was having a great season until he got hurt, so it's kind of hard to knock him for that, but certainly was having a great season. And the other guy I'd like to put up for nomination is Casey Keenum. You know, obviously, you know, Casey Keenum has never been consistent. I mean, you know, if we go back a couple years, you know, he's been somewhere around, you know, the 25%. I mean, when he's even started, he's never been very consistent. So I think he's somebody worth because, you know, by the end of the year, he was 53% consistent. He tied Jared Goff, actually, consistency, and Alex Smith, mm-hmm. And was ahead of Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. So I think that gives him some solid nomination points as well. But our winner is Carson Wentz. And as we mentioned before, ranked 24th in total points, 31% clutch rate in 2016, comes back and was, again, as we mentioned before, 8th in total points, 69% consistency, tied for 4th with Russell Wilson and James Winston. So he is our clutch comeback player of the year. So all right, we're down to the final award of the year. And this, of course, is our clutch MVP, Mr. Consistency Award, as you might want to call it. And like I said, some tough competition for this year. I don't think there's a runaway winner. We could have some arguments for some of these guys. So, Ron, I'm going to let you start off with a recommendation or a nomination or two for the clutch MVP.
And the guy that I'm going to nominate mainly is a guy that I'm normally kind of scared away from taking, but I was looking over the numbers here a little bit before, and one of the things that stood out about him was the durability that he has. And so my nominee is going to be Russell Wilson. And when you look at what he did, especially in the second half of the year, you know, he's kind of known to be a little bit of a slow starter, but if you were able to capitalize on that production toward the end of the year, you probably were sitting pretty at the end of the year and probably counting some winnings if you had him in there. With the 34 touchdowns, that ties his career high, 11 picks, 3,900 yards. So he didn't have a career year as far as yardage. It was up there, but not to where, not too far off his career pace because he's not ever going to be a 5,000-yard passer. But he's, you know, the 400 total fantasy points, you know, and he ranked 5th in our rankings at 69%. I think he's a nice mix of both, you know, without a 16 games, he was had clutch games in 11 of those. And so I think he's definitely got to be up there. Also, I'm going to give a real quick nod to Matt Stafford, as we alluded to before, you know, with the 75% clutch rating and the ADP as far down as he was a huge value for you and came through pretty solid in total points, but as well as clutch rating, as well as probably a guy that you drafted maybe, you know, in a deeper league, you might have waited and got him as your one, but he was more than likely a backup on a lot of teams that ended up getting put into that starting role, depending upon, you know, if you had Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or somebody that got hurt above him, or you had a guy that just underperformed, you know, and you kind of flip-flopped from week to week. So I'd say I'd give the slight edge to Wilson, but there's an argument that can be made for a lot of these guys.
Right, exactly. I'm just going to throw out a couple as well. I mean, I think Carson Wentz, kind of in the real MVP, like in the real MVP race, has to be considered just on the pace he was going, the consistency that was there. If he would have stayed probably in the realm that he was heading, he certainly would have been up there in total points of consistency with Stafford and Wilson. So I'm going to throw him out there. I wish I could say Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, but you know, with, again, both at 86% consistency and the pace that Watson was on was unbelievable, but you just can't give anybody an MVP award for playing less than half the season. But The winner, and boy, this was close, and you brought up the two guys that was really the consideration, and it was a very close competition between Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson. And, you know, here's how the decision was made, and then I'll tell you the answer. Wilson scored more points, but Stafford had a better clutch rate. In the playoff weeks, Wilson was only 1 for 3 with clutch games. Stafford was 2 for 3. Stafford's ADP was 16. Wilson's was 5. Stafford ended the year ranked 6th in total points and had the highest clutch rating with a 75%. And therefore, I gave the slight edge to Matthew Stafford. And, you know, like you said, it was a tough one. Wilson was so much more in points and only a game behind. But like you said, you know, I didn't have Russell Wilson in too many leagues, but I did have Stafford in my one big league, Fantasy League of Expert League. And, you know, he got me into the playoffs and got me to the semifinals. And it wasn't his fault that I lost in weeks. Well, I shouldn't say that. It wasn't his fault that I lost in week 15 because he did earn a clutch game for me. I just got beat by a team that had just had a deeper lineup because he got some points from players in his, you know, like a Marquise Goodwin that made a difference. And anyway, but so picking Matthew Stafford, but as I said, and as I said in the article online on BigGuyFantasySports.com, it's hard to argue that Wilson could have certainly have given that. Almost gave a tie, but can't have ties.
Nope.
So I gave the clutch MVP to Matthew Stafford. So again, I don't think any argument from you because you couldn't have said what I was thinking But
the thing is, I could have made the argument if I actually would have made the playoffs and was paying attention to what Matt Stafford was doing there. And so I don't think I made the playoffs in too many places. So I wasn't able to make that argument, but it sounds like a damn good argument to me.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, guys will go 12, 13 plus games for the year and then, like, just disappear in weeks 15 and 16. 17, I understand, because a lot of people get benched, and that's, you know, that is what it is. That's part of the game. But, you know, if you go to the playoffs in week 15 and 16 and your, quote, star just disappears for 2 weeks and you don't, you know, win your championship, that to me is not an MVP player, and, you know, it is what it is. So, I think as we're wrapping up here, we got about 7 minutes left. You know, again, I think Ron, and we talked a little bit about this already before about the consistency of the quarterbacks. I think when we start looking, you know, obviously the offseason, there'll be some movement. We assume guys like, you know, Kirk Cousins is going to go somewhere else, maybe. Some people may change some teams. Alex Smith may go somewhere else. Patrick Mahomes may take over a quarterback. We don't know about Casey Keenum and his future with the Vikings. You know, he may stay there. He may not. Bradford may go somewhere. Who knows? So there's going to be some movement, we assume. But I think overall, like I said, I think we've got to look at the fact that the top, more consistent quarterbacks that we know we can rely on, I think we have to go and take them in the rounds, you know, as long as the ADPs aren't super high, like first, second round. But I think any guy like a Rodgers, Wilson, Wentz, these kind of guys, probably Brady, we have to take them because I just think there's so many players that are a crapshoot. And, you know, when you're quarterback, you need a quarterback that's going to get you that consistency. And, you know, quarterback earning a clutch game is somewhere around 19, 20 points a week. You need that. It's got to be there. Because if you don't get that from them, then you've got to make it up somewhere else. And that's tough. And so, like I said, we'll see how the ADPs fall out for the year. But as we get to that point, I think we're going to be looking a little bit closer at separating those tiers. And those tier one guys, I think, are the guys we're going to say, you need to draft in rounds 5 or 6. And don't wait too much longer than that. Don't take a shot at, oh, well, Kirk's cousin will turn around or Dak Prescott will turn around. And they might. But, you know, I think there's some concerns there that we have to be worried about. So, you know, we'll get to that, see where the values may be falling out. Your thoughts?
Well, I think kind of like you said before, I mean, you need that consistent quarterback play because, you know, the other caveat to the team I keep alluding to with Kirk Cousins is the fact that after week two, I was able to pick up Deshaun Watson on waivers. He was still out there. And so I added him just in a, you know, he was sitting out there. I had a roster spot. That's not a real deep league, not big bench. And so I was able to add him. And, man, I was on easy street until he got hurt. And so, like I alluded to, with that lack of consistency from Kirk Cousins in some weeks, especially in that standard format, I'm not getting those points for those catches from my skill position. So I need those touchdowns. And right. And so I wasn't getting those from him. But, yeah, I think you gotta stick with those guys that are going to come through. I mean, I know we look – you know, we want that consistency, but, you know, we want to find that nice, happy medium there with the consistency and the total points. And I think, you know, like you alluded to, you've got to look at Rodgers. You've got to look at Brady. You've got to look at Wilson just because those are the guys that they do it year in and year out. They're always – they may not all be the most consistent that we always have, but they're always right there as far as in that top 10, top 5 range. A couple other guys, it just to me kind of depends upon, you know, when we kind of look past that, you know, into that second tier. I mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo earlier. He's a guy that I like. I just hope they add him some weapons, and I hope they can, you know, beef up the running game a little bit. I'm not real big on Carlos Hyde. I mean, he catches the ball decent out of the backfield, but overall they can improve there a little bit. But they need to get him some help in order to take that next step. And I'm hoping and hoping hard that the Vikings just give Case Keenum the job. It seems like, you know, they had Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater looking over his shoulder every week, and all he did was go out there, especially later on in the year, and perform. And that's a guy that you alluded to earlier with, you know, coming through with the 53% clutch. But in the second half of the year, once again, when they came into the playoffs, he's a guy, you know, kind of like you were talking about Matt Stafford later on in the year. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Keenum was probably another one of those guys that, you know, if you made the playoffs, you were happy you had him, and you probably started him a lot of weeks. And another guy that you alluded to, you know, was Alex Smith. For some reason, my gut tells me that Alex Smith is going to get a lot of love from John Elway this offseason. I think John Elway is going to look at Alex Smith a little bit, depending upon what he can do in the draft. But I think he could be headed to Denver. He just seems to me like a John Elway solid type of guy. And I think he could be pretty decent as far as fantasy and consistency, especially if he gets paired up with those two receivers, but which would leave, and I don't know if he'll take that step next year. I wouldn't look for a big consistency year out of him, but Patrick Mahomes is a guy that just physically is a stud. And I think he could really do some things later, you know, if he gets that opportunity, but I wouldn't count on him being a top 10 consistency quarterback just yet in Kansas City.
No. And again, I'm not a college guy, so I didn't follow much of Mahomes. I know he was a great college player. We just have to wait and see, you know, can he be Deshaun Watson and come in there and, you know, do well, or is he, you know, going to have some growing pains and, you know, be more like Wentz and Goff in his first year of playing. But since he's sat on the bench, you know, watched, you know, analyzed, you know, been a part of at least a full season, maybe certainly not playing, but certainly watching, learning, and understanding the system, we'll see if you know, if that holds true. And like you said, we assume that Smith will move onward. I was even thinking there'd be a shot that, and I don't know if I'm excited about it, but there would be a shot that maybe he would come to Cleveland, since the new GM for the Browns was the guy that brought Alex Smith to Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that happens. But, you know, as we wrap up here, again, Ron, thank you for helping out with the awards. I think some well-deserving awards, and I think they'll all be pleased. All the players will be pleased that they won some of these awards. They may not be pleased on some of them, obviously Cam Newton and Derek Carr, but we appreciate you being a part of this. As we close out, I want to announce some exciting news that happened this week for myself and the Big Guy Fantasy Sports family. But the 2017 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide was nominated by the Fantasy Sports Writers of America, FSWA, as being one of the finalists for Best Fantasy Football Publication of the Year. I'm really honored by that. Woo! And looking forward to that announcement. Yeah, that announcement will be coming on Sirius Fantasy Sports Radio the evening of February 6th. They were going to have a big a real awards. And I'm just honored to be nominated. When you get nominated with Bob Harris and Football Diehards and Chris yeah. Harris, you know, those are some big boys. I mean,
yeah, that's awesome, you know, Bob. So, congratulations on that. That's a great honor. And I know all the work that goes into that guide, man. And it's hands down, and I might be a little biased because I'm on the crew here, but it's top notch stuff, man. And everybody that I've shared it with says the same thing. So congrats on that. It's a huge honor.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're near the end of the show. So thank you again, Ron. And everybody, don't forget, follow us on BigGuysFantasySports.com. And we'll be back here again next week at 7:30. So don't forget to come back for the Fantasy Football Consistency Show. For Bob Long and Ron Rigney, everybody have a good night. Take care.